As you may imagine, I feel quite, on one hand, honored, but on the other hand, quite shy to be speaking in front of some very dear godbrothers of mine. And but when you're sitting here, what do you do? Everyone's looking at you, you have to speak anyway. So I request the blessings of my, and prayers of my godbrothers and even my godsister, so that I can do a service that I actually like to do, even though it's clear that I'm not really qualified to do this service. But I'll begin anyway. The hardest part is always beginning. First, some probably bad news, that the retreat isn't a japa retreat at all. Rather, it has a different purpose. And we won't be emphasizing the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra other than indirectly. But this is, it's entitled The Greatest Journey, a very esoteric and hidden title as what we're going to be speaking about. And part of this greatest journey is will be included in here in the retreat. There'll be many topics, and it's an effort to keep life, our life, in balance. And why do we need to keep our life in balance? Because if we're not balanced, we will fall over, and that's not very good at all in our spiritual life. There's some rules that Govinda Maharaj mentioned, and I'll mention them again, and there's a specific reason for having these rules. The first rule, or it's more like a request than a rule, because there won't be any policemen going around to enforce them in any way, but it's a request for a specific purpose. First request is that before 7 o'clock when we meet here for the opening kirtan and class, is there shouldn't be any talking. We should keep silent. As much as practical, we should keep silent. And the reason is so we have an opportunity to internalize our mood. When we start talking, we externalize. And the hope in this retreat is we become very internal, and we're hoping that by Krishna's mercy, by the mercy of Gopinath and also Gaurinathai and of course Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, that perhaps we will have some internal transformation, some change. And I'll speak about this point in a few moments, but we want to have a change of heart, because this is what Krishna consciousness means. It means a change of heart. And the reason why we ask the devotees to not use their mobile phones and to not take photographs and to not, what were the other things? Record it. There's a different reason for not recording. But these things, and let's see if there was anything else. No mobile phones. Oh yeah, no computers, no downloading, no cameras. And the reason is because these things tend to keep us involved in the externals of the world and the consciousness. When we're a little anxiety, when we're a little uncomfortable, there's a tendency turn on a radio or turn on a computer and go online and download your email every 15 minutes or call somebody on the mobile phone. But these things are excuses. Really, they're excuses provided by Sri Maya Devi to keep us external, to keep our consciousness in darkness. Not that these things can't be used in Krishna service, but they keep us leaning away from the internal aspects of spiritual life. And we tend, and I'm not, and I do say we, not saying you, but saying we and just thinking about you, but I really mean we. I'll make it even simpler, I'll just say I, tend to lean on these things again when I should be leaning upon and taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and depending on him. I mean, after all, will my mobile phone and computer save me at the time of death? I mean, it's obvious that it won't. And life, sadhan kori bhajan kori mrityu janle hai, is meant to develop a very deep internal and loving relationship with Krishna. So at least during this short time period that we are here together, it's Friday night, so all day Saturday and then half day Sunday. This time, it can be very ordinary or it can be extremely extraordinary, depending upon if we have our consciousness leaning towards Krishna. And then it depends on how Krishna reciprocates with that, and how Krishna reciprocates with our leaning towards him and keeping a very expectant and hopeful consciousness that Krishna can come into my life because I'm leaning a little extra towards him. That he can actually affect the change in heart that I so much, on my better days, desire. And I do say on my better days, because usually I'm so involved, and really this is an honest statement, so involved in the externals of life that I forget all about Krishna in a deep way and what I have to do to actually become a servant of Srila Prabhupada and ultimately a servant of Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So this is are the specific reasons that we've asked the star-like devotees and the moon-like devotees both to not use your mobile phones at all, because I mean, yeah, because we how many messages I have, and then you know, and how many messages, and so much anxiety, how many emails, and so much anxiety descends into the consciousness and distracts us from what we really want. So we want to lean towards Krishna and allow Krishna to do something a little special to our hearts and consciousness during this time we have together. So one is those simple rules to keep it simple while we're here. And also expect that Krishna can do something to actually move us forward, even during this practically 1.5 days that we're together. And again, the silence point before is so that we can chant arounds, which we're requesting devotees to as much as possible try to complete them before 7, because the day is somewhat packed with different activities. I would have preferred to have a retreat where there's more time alone and thoughtfulness, but it didn't quite work out. And this causes a bit of tension because there's almost one thing after the next, but that tension hopefully will cause us to lean towards Krishna and even the simple surroundings, you know, that we have to have this for our light, and this one keeps flickering and there's little bugs around. Because my mood tends to be, how dare these bugs come, as if you know, it's my universe, and Krishna somehow or another has made the mistake of letting them come, you know, or making the mistake of not making the weather exactly right, this is what it means to be in this type of retreat. To whatever happens. Whatever happens, we should see that as Krishna telling, even though it's a little uncomfortable, and to be a little uncomfortable in this kind of retreat is really good, because again it stops us from depending upon the externals of life, and it can tend, if our consciousness is right, to let us lean towards Krishna and call out to him and depend on him. And let's see what happens. Let's see if he gives us some special mercy. Do you think that he can? Actually, if we're leaning towards him and actually our heart is a little extra needing, longing, do you think he can reciprocate and pull from our pull? So let's see. So that's the reason for the rules, and one other simple rule: try your best to be on time, which means not Bombay time, which is what is it officially 20 minutes after. So because the day is actually quite crowded. I'll tell you the schedule. And everyone is going to be getting a wonderful packet that Govinda Prabhu has prepared. And in it will be the schedule. No, the schedule will be posted too, but I'll read it to you now. But a writing pad, like a notebook, and on it some of my favorite pictures of Vrindavan. This is one of the things I like to do most, is just wander around Vrindavan and take photographs, and there's probably 15 different photographs, and you'll be given one folder, and you'll have one special photograph of Vrindavan in it, and I don't know which one you'll get, but mine also wasn't an accident. There was something that Krishna wanted to tell me in mind of the Yamuna River with one very tall mustard seed and plant coming up. Can you see it?
Yes.
And my first reaction, I'm embarrassed to say it, was maybe I am that tall mustard seed plant. And then I thought, oh no, look at this false ego. Oh. So Krishna is trying to tell me that I should serve the very tall mustard seed. So when you get your mustard plants, because some are very, very tall and very strong and very wonderful, and I know that I'm not like that. So, and there's the Yamuna that's actually, and it's very deep. I could probably talk about this picture. So please look at your picture that hasn't come to you by chance. It has come by Krishna's arrangement. So look at it and enter deeply into the mysterious and unlimitedly deep land of Vrindavan. So please be on time also. So at 7 o'clock, at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, we shall meet and our simple morning program. And I'd like to request, if it is all practical, for His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to lead the Guru Vastaka prayers tomorrow, if it's practical, and have kirtan till 7:30. That was actually the morning program at 26 Second Avenue. It began at 7 o'clock, which maybe some of the devotees would prefer. That's when it always began. But Prabhupada did change it later. And then Prabhupada, he would sing the Guru Vastakam, the Samsara prayers, from and have kirtan from 7 to 7.30, and then from 7.30 to 8, or he would give his lecture, and then all the devotees would go to work or do what they had to do. It was a very short morning program. Ours won't be quite like that, but it will begin at 7 o'clock, and kirtan and Guru Vastakam prayers, and then I'll speak, which is the first of the three verses on the greatest journey, the Shastric part of it. It's about the life of Narada Muni. When I read Narada Muni's life from this particular point of view, and I saw that, and actually Prabhupada explains it in his purports to, he explains how this is the ideal life of a devotee and how he progresses to perfection. So we will and can learn so much from Narada Muni's life. His life is so ideal that he attained prema bhakti almost immediately. So perhaps we may not do that, but still his life from beginning to end has so many lessons. It's so ideal, and we can learn so much. And I will be speaking about it a little bit fast because we'll cover his entire life in three classes, and that will be the first thing from 7:30 to 8:30, and then from 8:30 to 10 o'clock, there's breakfast and a little bit of rest. And there's also two things that are in your little packet that I'm going to ask you to do during that time as well. And one is in preparation for a class, not exactly a class, but it's an activity from 4:30 to 7:30. There's a particular sheet that's called the Snapshot of My Life in Search of a Balanced Life in Krishna Consciousness. So what we're going to be doing from 4:30 to 7:30 is sort of get an overview of what our life is, the different facets, aspects of our life, and see if we can see that, and see if we can get some ideas or hints how we can bring it even more into balance. And I'll be speaking about the concept of a balanced life in Krishna consciousness at that time. So there's a sheet that you have to fill out. Hopefully the instructions are very clear. Hopefully. But if they're not clear, then if you have any questions, then tomorrow morning we'll have to find a little time that you can... Oh, well, actually at 4:30 or before, you can just ask me if you have any, if it's not perfectly clear. And in there also will be a set of post-its, which I think have disappeared from my own packet over here. Those sticky little yellow things, and they'll be required. Oh, there it is. They'll be required for the life balancing exercise that we'll do. These little things over here, this size, and also a pen is in there, in case anyone didn't bring a pen. Because there'll be things I'll be asking you to do, and one of those is to be writing. We'll have what I call directed free writing. Sometimes the aspect of Burijan Das, who is a teacher, Gurukula teacher, comes out, and I especially like to teach writing. So I like to have the devotees write in a particular way that I'll explain very, very, very soon. And it's called directed free writing, or just sometimes free writing. It's very private, and sometimes I may ask if anyone wants to read one line or something like that. They can if they want to, but no one's going to look at it. We're not going to check your handwriting, your grammar, or anything like that. That part of the teacher will not be exhibited. Just, it's more another way. I've seen that writing is such a good way to help us become internalized and to think, to deepen our thoughts. So we were up to 10 o'clock after the break from 8:30 to 10, then from 10 to 12, the second of the classes on Narada Muni's life. Then from 12 to 12:30, there's a break, and then from 12:30 to 2:30, we'll have one of the we'll have some what I call prayerful reading, and there's a pamphlet that in here that explains it. It's something that I wrote. It's a very simple way to read Prabhupada's books, but very deep. It's nice if we can study very regularly and systematically and start at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita and study it deeply until we reach the end of the Bhagavad Gita, and then after that start at the beginning of the Bhagavatam and read every verse and purport carefully, etc., until we get to the end and then read Chaitanya Charitam. That's very nice if we can do that. But in addition to that wonderful systematic way of reading, there is also a very simple but deep way of reading that is described in this prayerful reading, because a lot of the devotees don't have time, even though they may have the desire to read in this way. But with this way, if you can take 15 minutes or a half an hour to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Krishna through the books of Prabhupada, you can actually have very deep realizations, and the sort of the mood of this is if you can collect one jewel of realization, and if that's deep, if you can collect it and make it yours, one a day, you after some time, after a few months, you're going to be a very wealthy person, a jewel a day. So that's the idea of that. And that's also in the packet. And then from 12:30 to 2:30, we'll be going over this, and there'll be some group sharing of that, and even some presentations, perhaps, Krishna willing. And then from 2:30 till 4:30, that's 2 hours, there'll be prasadam, rest, and so if you can read this, by the way, before, we'll be going over it anyway, but if you can read this before 2:30, that will be before 12:30, that will be helpful. And if you could have the sheet that Greatest Journey or the Life Balancing sheet filled out before 4:30, that will also be good. And it's filled out in your notebook, by the way. This is more a notepad than a notebook, but in here you can do that. Then that will be from 4:30 to 7:30. So you can see it's quite a busy day. And then from 7:30 till 9, we'll have kirtan, Krishna willing, and we'll ask our kirtaniers if they will kindly sing Krishna's holy names for their pleasure. And also, look at the setting here. Oh, how fortunate. Because there's a Govardhan Hill very close, and here is Sri Madan Mohan, the Bhajan Kutir of Sanatan Goswami is there, and so close to the river Yamuna. So let us, our mood, be a mood of a Vrindavan mood while we're here. And that's moving towards a Vrindavan mood. Okay. That's the end of part one of what I wanted to say. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about why I called it the greatest journey and why I've chosen the life of Narada Muni to speak of. This is water. Excuse me. So, what would you say quickly without thinking about it too much? What would you say is the most important aspect of a journey? Yes, so everyone knows. Yeah, it's the goal. Because there's no question of getting any relevant guidance. You turn left, you turn right. I should go fast, I should go slow. slowly. There's no question of any relevant instruction or decision making until one knows the goal, because our decision making is relative to where we're trying to go. Obviously, it's absurd to you ask someone, should I turn left or right? And what are they going to say? And if they give you an answer without first asking where you're trying to go, then obviously you're going to think the person is either foolish or cheating or something like that. So our goal really, and this is really the essence, in essence, of what Krishna consciousness is and what the process of sadhana bhakti is and what we're doing here. We really want to establish our goal really strongly and clearly. We want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Because if there is no goal, there is actually no journey at all. So here I am. I am an entangled soul, entangled in the net of Maya. I'm filled with desires. I'm filled with Mayic materialistic tendencies. And my heart is searching for something. I'm searching for different kinds of satisfaction. So here I am, and there is my goal. It is Vrindavan. So the question, of course, is, and our life is meant for this, to use our life as a journey that is going to transform us. And again, I'll be speaking about this in a few moments, a little more. But to journey, to travel, to journey in consciousness from where I am, wherever it is, regardless of how entangled I am, but it's clear what my goal is. It's the service of C.C. Radha Gopinath in Vrindavan, Radha Sham in Vrindavan. And wherever I am, I have to make that journey the central feature of my life. And it is a journey that demands a lot of transformation. We can say, looking at it from the point of a, here I am, of a conditioned soul who is self-centered, his life is based on his false ego. Basically, this is what it means to be a conditioned soul, and this is what it means to be clouded by a false ego. It means to have turned our back on Krishna. And it doesn't mean that Krishna isn't there. It doesn't mean Mama Eva Angsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. It doesn't mean that we don't have our relationship with Krishna, but it means that I've simply turned my back on that relationship with Krishna. I'm not living in it. I don't want to live in it. But because this is who I eternally am, this is actually who I am, and there is no escape from that. Nowadays, I don't know if in India, but especially in the United States, I've noticed, and even though I haven't been there for years, when people introduce themselves, they just introduce themselves by their first name. But what is the problem with that? And it's really indicative of a particular type of consciousness too, dissociated from their family, from everything else, and therefore, even though they very, very happily tell you their first name, it's people are so dissociated from each other and so lonely and self-centered. So when people, at least the Western culture, was to say your first name, and Indian culture in the old days, in Gujarat, I know that they used to adopt their father's name, yes, as their second name, because that showed who they were in relationship with their father, with their family. So similarly, even to think that we are spirit souls, that's like introducing ourselves by our first name. It doesn't tell who we are in relationship with. So we are not just spirit souls, we are Krishnas. We are part and parcel of Krishna. When we say part and parcel, why don't we just say part? We're part of Krishna. We are part of Krishna. But parcel indicates a complete unit. So we are part of Krishna, but we are units. We are individuals. We are souls. We are eternal spiritual souls who are Krishna's servants. This is who we are. And although we can turn our back on that relationship, we cannot avoid it, because this is who we are, our constitutional position. Krishna Nitya Das. So when we do turn our back on our actual identity, we are given a false identity, because we don't want to live a false in the real identity. We're given a false conception of ourself. So that is called false ego, obviously. And the journey, because it's false, it's not who we are. Ego means identity. So the journey back home, back to Godhead, to Krishna, means a journey to return to our actual identity. So when we first take up this journey, this most deeply spiritual journey, like children, there's a tendency, and I'll speak from my own experience. There's a tendency to have a childish version or a childish view of what the journey is going to be like. Childish means it's seen from a materialistic point of view. And that is, oh, everything's going to be wonderful. That's like I've seen in Delhi, they have the book vans, distributing vans for the Bhagavad Gita, and they say, read Bhagavad Gita for attention-free life. And that's not my experience of life, devotional life on my level. Because even if you're peaceful, you have to deal with, you take some responsibility and you have to spread Krishna consciousness, and then you meet your own limitations. But this doesn't figure into a childish vision of what spiritual life is going to be. I call it, it's just thinking, oh, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, and God's going to give me everything I need. I'm always going to be healthy. I'm going to have a perfectly beautiful wife who listens to everything I say only, and everything. Not that my wife doesn't do that, by the way. Yes, dear? Sorry, I think I better change the subject here. But the children are all going to grow up like this and like that, and everyone's going to be healthy forever, and money's going to be raining from the sky, and everything I do will be successful, and there won't be any problems in life because, you know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and isn't this what spiritual life means? It's material life is trouble, and I join spiritual life and chant Hare Krishna to reverse that, and everything's going. But no, this is completely. I call it lollipop land. You think it's going to be, but it isn't like that at all. The real life, spiritual life journey is different, and it's difficult. It's difficult due to the fact, and this is why it's difficult. Because we have to exact a transformation deeply to the core of who we are. In other words, regardless of our mind, regardless of our intelligence, false ego, our consciousness must be transformed to the very self, so that I no longer think myself. I no longer think myself the center of existence, and rather I love Krishna. And that means a complete change, because it's the exact opposite of material life. Material life simply means, based on false ego, I think that I'm the center. And I'm only basically concerned with me. And I like and I dislike friend or enemy, Icha, Dvesha, just simply based on what's good for me. And I'll chant Hare Krishna as long as it's good for me. As long as I'm getting what I want from it. But this is not the mood of Vrindavan at all. Because in Vrindavan, this is not spiritual life. This is just a different form of material life, what I just said. But the mood of Vrindavan is Krishna. It's all about pleasing Krishna. And it is said, there's some prayers in Panyavali that say that Mother Yasoda is prepared to die millions of deaths to save Krishna from one experiencing one drop of the inconvenience of perspiration. Now, you know, it's easy, but just think of what that means, and then think of what I am. Or I should do that part. You know, think about what I am and what my main concerns are. So spiritual life, to go to Vrindavan, to exact what we really want, means the deepest of transformations to the very core of who we are. So who we are becomes actually revealed and exhibited, not to the world, but for the pleasure of Krishna, as the most Gopi Bhakta Parakamalaya Dasa Dasa Nadas. That's how what Mahaprabhu expressed his desire for it at Rath Yatra. So it must be difficult unless we're already completely pure, because Krishna very kindly is going to, when he's taken us in his hand, when we're serious enough for him to accept us as his aspiring servant, our life is going to be based on transforming us to the very core. So it must be difficult in that sense. In that sense. So life will teach us. If for a devotee, Prabhupada said that for a non-devotee, there is no asub and sub. Everything is asub. And for a devotee, there is no asub and sub. Everything is sub, because he sees everything in relationship to this incredible journey that Krishna is leading him on to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, what guides us on this journey? Basically, it is Shastra. The Acharyas, their gift to us is the Shastra. They leave behind their instructions. And this is, I have the verse here from the 10th canto in the prayers in Garbha Stuti, the prayers of the demigods. They leave behind the boat of their instructions, which are experienced guidance, and they leave that behind to guide us. And their path, the path that they leave behind through their shastra and their words, that is the safe path. So therefore, in this life-balancing retreat, I really wanted to include shastra there too, because that's a point that we need to make. So we'll have our prayerful reading of Shastra, but it's going to be based again on the life of Narada Muni, because Shastra Let me just read this very wonderful verse from Gaurava Stuti, and then some of Srila Prabhupada's purport commentary. O Lord, this is the words of the devas. O Lord, who resembles the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desires of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanshakalpaturu. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, just like samasritam ye parapalava plavam, they leave behind, when the acharyas take shelter of your lotus feet, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. The boat crosses to the other side, but miraculously the boat remains on this side. So we can access it. We can get in it. And the reason why they can do that is vatsapadam, is that the ocean, the vast ocean of material existence by the mercy of Krishna, shrinks down to vatsapadam, the size of a calf's hoofprint. So the boat doesn't get lost when they cross. So they leave behind the boat on earth the method by which they cross, and because, O Lord, you are very merciful, because you are merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. So Krishna accepts the path of the acharyas out of his mercy, and if we stay on that path, then Krishna will accept that and we will go clearly and quickly. Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, does anyone have a flashlight? Flashlights are allowed, by the way. Thank you. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed, meaning the path that the acharyas, and he speaks about the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. And I recently heard or read a lecture that of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, and somehow or another there's one or two lectures that I've seen on the folio. And he said, what a shame it is that the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has been locked up in India and not distributed to the world. Such a deep book too, and this is how he was thinking. And it was one of the first books that Prabhupada translated. So, thus, in our Krishna consciousness movement, the same path is being prescribed and follows. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions, because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible. One should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakura, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who follows the regulative principles and the methods prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination. By the grace of the Lord, this method is called the Acharya Sampradaya. So this is why I wish to speak directly from Shastra on this. And then we can see Narada Muni's life, because he has crossed over. He has crossed over. And if we can adopt his methodology sincerely, we will also cross over. And what I've seen is that... Oops, I need the flashlight back again, please. Yep. Is that what Shastra does, it offers us... a perspective, because as we go through our lives, if we sometimes we're really going up, and sometimes it seems like we're really going down, and sometimes, you know, we see what we're doing well or doing poorly in the frame of reference of 6 months or a year or 2 years or something like that. So, but the acharyas see a perspective that's quite different. They see so they can take. They see really from the perspective of eternity. And even an elder, a person who's a grandfather who's been through life, when the young boy or the young married or even the young brahmachari is going through some particular difficult time or exuberant time, then the elder can place that particular experience that he is having in the perspective of the experience of a whole life. And this is what Shastra can give us as well. And therefore also your counseling system is very important and wonderfully established. So everyone has someone that they can go to that can place the experiences of their that they're going through right now in, oh, at least it's a nice gentle melody, in the perspective of the experienced life of the counselors who have been through life already. I mean, not to the very end, obviously, but they've been through much of life, and therefore they can place a particular time in perspective. And, you know, and encourage and give proper, oh, it's all right, you know, these things happen, it's okay, you just, you know, you have to do this and this, and just keep going. So this is what Shastra does, and of course, the experience of the devotees, but here we're speaking about Shastra particularly. So also hearing the journey of the great spiritualist back to Godhead, it connects us with our Gaudiya Vaishnava heritage. This is the Shastra is our main connection to our Gaudiya Vaishnava heritage and how they, in our specific Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and especially coming through Srila Prabhupada, how they and he deal with the journey of spiritual life, of turning back to Krishna. So what we're going to do, and we're going to look at Shastra, and we're hoping to look at this retreat, is to seek guidelines on the goal and how to proceed on our journey from Shastra and from devotees. Otherwise, we have to find everything out on our own. And that is so difficult. And that's one thing about the old Prabhupada's disciples. Most of us, we had to find out almost everything on our own. When I was 21, I was one of the oldest devotees, and there were some devotees who were 26 or 28 at most. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu said that at that time, the Prabhupada was the only adult in the movement, and it really wasn't far from the truth, because we had all this heavy spiritual knowledge, but no maturity how to apply it. It was, in some senses, like, you know, a doctor who's read the textbooks and he's really convinced he's going to perform a great brain operation, but so, you know, there were many people who didn't really survive that, and you know, both wielding the knife and being the having it wielded upon you. it was a very interesting time period in Gaudiya Vaishnava history. So from Shastra and from the devotees, so now this is the first time in the movement actually that there are devotees who've been through life already. You know, the devotees are 60, nearing 60, the oldest devotees. You know, the ones who are 26 and 28 are nearing 70, and the ones who are my age, who, you know, was a little 60, 61, or, you know, or 58, 59, 60, like that. So we've been through life already. So now when we advise, when we give advice, it's different than we did when we were 21. Very, very different. But why do we do that? Because if you ask the devotees to take off their shirts, they'll show you all the scars and the wounds. But everyone doesn't have to learn in that way anymore. Now it's so much more a society, you know, there's a full society. You know, there's the people of grandparent age, like that. So we get this from the devotees, but we get the basis of everything from Shastra. So we'll hear of the life and the journey of Narada Muni, how a great soul dealt with all that life offered him, and he didn't have an easy time of it either. So that's, why don't we hand out the folders now? That's good, in the dark. So no one will see what great and wonderful, mysterious picture of Vrindavan that they have received until they enter deeply within it. Let's see if I forgot to mention anything. Vrindavan. Oh, if anyone brought their favorite picture of Krishna, we place it on the altar, in front of the altar. The couch that has become an altar, and tomorrow we'll be able to see them, but not tonight, probably. So please be prayerful. Be prayerful. Be prayerful and internal, and one thing I've seen, because I lived in Vrindavan for quite a few years, is what one learns to do is to see that nothing in Vrindavan happens by accident. That there is some arrangement and plan behind everything that occurs. So please see, during this time when the devotees are here thinking about Vrindavan and thinking about going to Vrindavan, going to Goloka Vrindavan, don't see anything as accidents, especially when all the electricity goes off. But don't see accidents. But be deep and internal and see what does Krishna want? What does Krishna want from me? And sometimes it doesn't come like a great voice from the sky and say, Prabhu, now you must increase your rounds. But little hints come. And this is what you should look for. Look for little hints. And expect little hints of Krishna's direction and mercy coming to you. Accept as meaningful all that happens during our time together during the retreat. Clues and hints, that's how I look at it, what to look for. And pray. Who should we pray to? We should pray, of course, to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, to Narada Muni. Especially we can pray to Narada Muni because we're going to be hearing about him. We can pray to Srila Vyasadeva, who's kindly given us the Bhagavatam due to his vision. We can pray, of course, to Sri Sri Gaunatai, to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, to the dust of Vrindavan, to Govardhan Hill. There's not a lack of personages to pray to. Now, Raise your hand if you have your folder before you, in your hand. And notice again that there's, don't lose the post-it thing in the dark, by the way, the post-it pack. It's in there. But what I would like to do now is do our first directed free writing. And before, I don't know if it's going to be possible without light and without much light, but we can try. But for, this is basically what we do. I'll give you a topic, and what you do is write. This is the only rule in this directed free writing, is that you write and keep your pen moving for the 10 minutes or so that I ask you to write. Some of us have used keyboards for so long we might not remember how to write. It's true, isn't it? So the particular topic for 10 minutes that I would like you to write about right now, and I'll tell you when to begin, is, and it's exactly 9 o'clock, and we'll end for the night at 10 minutes after 9, or 11 minutes after 9 or something. The topic is what hopes and aspirations you have for this retreat, very short retreat. What would you hope to happen to you? That's all. Start writing. And my only advice is don't start writing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, because then you never stop. I know how it works. But just start writing. And if you don't know what to write, don't worry about it. Just write, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write, and something will come. I know this. Okay, please start writing right now, and I'll tell you, I'll give you indications of what the times are now. According to my watch, it's 1 minute after 9. Anyone have any questions? Just keep writing. Just write. Oh, that I can't help with. I don't know who, I can't even loan you this, because it's not mine. Anyway, if you can't see, Krishna will help you in one way or another. And no, this is completely private, except I may ask if anyone would like to share a line or something like that, underline something if they want to, but no one will read it if you don't want, certainly. Maybe we could hold that up high. But, oh, yes. Whoa, Valesham, just like Vrindavan in the rainy season. There's writing. The only rule is keep writing. Don't stop. Don't worry about if you don't know what to write about. Just keep the pen moving. That's the only rule. Hopes, aspirations for your time here in this holy place, associating with holy devotees and holy supreme lords in the shelter of Radha Madan Mohan, Sanatana Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Sisi Kornatai. Be prayerful, be internal. know your goal. Keep the pen moving. Five minutes completed, maybe six, five. Three minutes left. Of course, you can write in any language you want. 2.5 minutes left. Just keep the pen moving. And it's private again what you're writing. Just another 45 seconds. Okay, so that's all for this evening. Please take rest as soon as it's practical for you, and chant Hare Krishna very attentively tomorrow morning, and we shall meet here again at 7 o'clock. And if anyone has any problems about the accommodations in the dark or anything, who do they see? Yeah. It's already okay. Okay, good night, Hare Krishna, and we'll see you all tomorrow morning. Krishna willing.